I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. Thanks for joining me. There's an interesting story out of McKinney, Texas, of a couple of women by the name of Carolyn Compton and Paige Price, who've been living together for a while with Carolyn's two daughters, ages 10 and 13. But recently, Paige had to move out because of the ruling of Collin County District Judge John Roach Jr., who enforced a morality clause that was in Carolyn's divorce decree. Carolyn was married for 11 years to a guy by the name of Joshua Compton, and he went to his attorney and said, wait a second, there's a clause in our divorce decree that says that she can't have somebody, have another adult spending the night there in a romantic or sexual way while our kids are there, and I want you to break them up. And so the lawyer went to the court, and the judge agreed with them, and so Paige has to move out. Now, the interesting part of this is that that clause can be invalidated when the partner who has separated has found somebody else and married them. But in Texas, a lesbian couple can't get married. Is this constitutional? Let's ask legal analyst Angela Giampolo, who's an attorney and an entrepreneur and an advocate for the LGBT community. Angela, welcome back to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. We really need to stop meeting this way.
Well, whenever I have interesting stories like this, you're the one I call on, and I want to get your take on what's happening here to Carolyn and Paige and the ex-husband, Josh.
Absolutely. And it's a great case demonstrating the equal protection argument for gay marriage, because as you said to the listeners, if regardless of whether or not you agree with gay marriage, the fact that we don't have that option and the fact that we can't get married, there are a plethora, hundreds of laws where marriage is the keystone deciding factor on that law. So this law is therefore discriminatory against this couple. There's no expiration on that clause, so they only have two options. Either appeal this ruling, which they will likely do and they'll likely win, or gay marriage has to become legal nationwide, which could take years to happen.
Yep. Well, there are 12 states now that have legalized it. We missed out on number 13 this week when Illinois decided not to do it. But I'm curious why this clause is even in there. Is that something that's automatic, or could either party say, I want that out?
So a lot of judges, especially in conservative counties like the one that we have, automatically put those clauses in. And they're very, very common in all states, but they're so arcane. It's one of those clauses that no one even pays attention to. They're just there because, you know, they were there 300 years ago and they were meant for a different time, you know, just as archaic as the Defense of Marriage Act. So they're in a lot of these divorce decrees, but very rarely enforced. It's important to note that the husband is the one who asked the judge to enforce it. So they've been divorced for 2 years or so, and he just filed about a month, I think, or in April, in order to revisit that decree and say, listen, she's been in violation of this for the last 2 years. And it's ironic because it's a morality clause, right? But the ex-husband rarely sees the two children. He actually hired a private investigator in order to bring this case forward. And in 2011, he was charged with third-degree felony stalking of his ex-wife. So, you know, again, if there are laws on the books that allow people like this ex-husband, who's not the least bit moral, to discriminate against LGBT couples, you know, at the heart of the clause is meant for the best interest of the children, but sometimes laws that have good intent can be manipulated for discriminatory purpose like we have here.
All right, let me ask you the other side of this, though. Couldn't this also be used with a heterosexual couple, a man and a, let's say my wife and I got divorced when our daughter was young and she got custody of our daughter and she goes off and she has a life and a year later she meets a guy and they fall for each other and he's spending nights there. They don't move in together, but he is spending nights there. Under this Texas clause, I could, as the ex-husband, say, hey, knock that off as long as my daughter's there. And if you're going to do that, she's not going to stay there anymore. That sounds like something fairly reasonable.
Absolutely. And let's make it even more egregious. You were nice in your hypothetical, but let's say, you know, you get divorced and a month later your wife has drug dealers coming in and out and spending the night. And you know, let's make it even more egregious than just your wife actually fell for somebody. That's exactly what this clause was meant to prohibit and protect children from that. But again, if in a heterosexual situation, if your wife did fall for someone, she would have the ability to then remarry that person. But in the big scheme of things, just in jurisprudence and in the law, there's a lot of backlash against morality clauses generally in all contracts, not just this situation, because it's ultimately government coming in and legislating, if you will, private conduct, right? Things that are inside the home.
Yep.
So outside of divorce decrees where children are involved, it's become commonplace that lawyers, and myself included, would never include a morality clause because they tend to be unenforceable. And so there's a lot of work to be done and being done to actually rename the word morality clause and maybe make it something like best interest of the children clause, or because that's what this clause is meant to prohibit. But with this case specifically, there's a ton of evidence that this guy just really has issues with the fact that his ex-wife is a lesbian, right? And that's what's really getting to him. If he had just left them and were dating a guy, I don't think we'd be having this conversation.
That may be true, but considering the guy's background, which you mentioned, and the fact that this couple had been already living together with a presumably healthy environment for the kids, when they go to court, are the women likely to win this on the constitutional grounds or on the, hey, we're building a better home than he was going to offer anyway, leave us alone grounds?
Yeah, exactly. The ACLU of Texas has already been investigating this case and probably speaking with the couple's attorney. But they will likely, the only way they're going to be able to win is if they win on the best interest of the children grounds, you know, that they've been living together now 3 years. The kids are absolutely well adjusted, no issues in school. You know, there's nothing. The ACLU, though, once this case is appealed and if they're successful, it'll be an important case generally for Texas law, because there's actually a similar Houston case, 2011, which is around when that couple got divorced, where there's a gay couple and the judge ruled it was two gay guys, where the bio dad, it was not allowed to leave his children with his partner alone, his partner of 18 years, is not allowed to be alone with his children. And that was brought forth by the ex-wife. And the judge enforced that and said that the partner couldn't be alone with his two children. They appealed. That appeal, I think, was filed in October of 2011, and it's still pending. So these two cases could potentially be heard simultaneously, and that would have a lot of precedent and gain momentum for LGBT law generally in Texas.
Would that do away with this clause completely?
I don't think it would do away with it, but I could see all of the momentum that has been happening over the last 20 years to rename the morality clause, because it's such a slippery slope, right? What's moral to you is not moral to me, and rename it the best interest of the children clause, and so that way we're not dealing with unmarried or married. Because again, let's get away from the gay straight issue.
Yep.
Out of my entire family, I have three aunts and uncles that have never gotten married, but they've been together, you know, 30 some odd years, and they have kids. And, it, you know, for whatever reason, I just come from a family of straight people that don't believe in marriage. so it's a slippery slope if your only criteria is married or unmarried. It should really just be best interest of the children.
All right, quickly, Angela, my last question for you. What if this lesbian couple had come to Texas from another state where gay marriage was legal and they had gotten married there?
Good question. Unfortunately, absolutely no difference. And we all expect that DOMA will fall in June, any day now. We're expecting the Supreme Court hearing, opinion. But because DOMA still stands, and even when it does fall, if you're married in a state where gay marriage is recognized and you moved, I'm in Pennsylvania, you know, if you move to Pennsylvania or Texas, you're not considered married. So under the eyes of the law in Texas, they have a constitutional ban against gay marriage. So they would not be deemed married. They would still be deemed legal strangers. cohabitants, unmarried cohabitants, and legally they'd be in the exact same situation.
Very interesting. Angela, I always appreciate your expertise. Thanks for joining me today, and I hope your mom is doing better.
Oh, thank you so much. Absolutely.
Angela Giampolo, an attorney, an entrepreneur, an advocate for the LGBT community. She's online at phillygaylawyer.com. I'm Paul Harris. You're welcome to be a part of the show anytime. Toll free at 855-538-TALK. That's 538-8255 with the area code 855. Or follow us on Facebook or tweet us on Twitter at America Weekend. I'll be right back. America.